Hello everyone, it's Loose Cannons discussing The Lair of the White Worm, directed by Ken Russell from 1980 today. It's Ruben here, and Basil and Patrick, and alright, we are the Midnight Society, and I submit The Lair of the White Worm.
For
your approval, because I'm just going to start off and say that that's what this reminded me of, is sort of Twin Peaks hybrid with Are You Afraid of the Dark?
It was a bit of an Are You Afraid of the Dark.
Especially, I wasn't really clear on what was happening at the ending, but it seemed very Are You Afraid of the Dark? Like, ta-da! And then
oh no, he's bit.
Also very Twin Peaksy in that he decided to wear his kilt while playing the bagpipes, even though that was completely unnecessary.
That was like
every time it cut to him, I started laughing so hard.
They were just like playing up his Scottishness the whole time.
I thought of that it's too. Like there was like. You heard the bagpipes that cut to him, and he was like in the full Scottish garb, and I was like, is that necessary to play the bagpipes? Are you like not allowed to play the bagpipes? We should tell people that it was like a plot point in the movie with the snake people that music or certain types of music would cause them to freak out.
Act as snake charming.
Yeah, kind of like they couldn't control their actions, and so one of the archaeologist guy was able to figure that out at a certain point. I don't know if it explained when or how he figured it out, but it just seemed like they knew that music worked against them at a certain point. Like, we as an audience knew because of that like earlier like hitchhiker who was caught and started playing his harmonica, and he found it out accidentally.
Yeah.
And Hugh Grant sort of figured it out.
Yeah, I think that's who figured it out. I think Hugh Grant figures it out, and then he just lets them know because he's the one who plays the music on the loudspeakers.
Yeah, but I didn't...
At his house.
I mean, I guess he just sort of figured everything out. He had that weird dream, and then suddenly he sort of like knew everything that was going on, the cave, the importance of everything, and everyone was like, you're crazy, and he's like, no, I'm Hugh Grant.
He's like, no, I'm not. Cheerio, pip, pip. Awfully British. Awfully British.
I wonder,
you know,
if we had seen this movie in 1980, if we would have known that of all the people in it, that Hugh Grant was the only one who's gonna become super famous.
I was gonna say, I think you misunderstood, Basil. He said 1988, not 1980.
1988. Okay. Hugh Grant still wasn't famous, though.
That's true, yeah. He was still a young,
budding
star.
It seems very unlikely that anyone famous would have been in this movie.
Yes, definitely.
And there he was, Hugh Granting around, essentially unchanged in the last 25 years.
Yeah. Still playing the same character that he plays in all of the romantic comedies. Just this time he's going after a giant snake.
Yeah, he's a little more capable in this. That's pretty much the only difference. You don't see any scenes in, like, he's normally sort of like confused in the romantic comedies, but here he cuts someone in half with a sword. That makes him...
Yeah.
You know, and he's like knowledgeable. Yeah, he knows what's going on.
He's a descendant of a knight in this movie.
Yeah.
Although I was confused at the ending when they're in the cave, because I guess maybe for budgetary reasons, he has that big crew and they're like gonna do something, and then the worm comes and the Scottish guy kills it, and then it cuts back to them, and they're just hanging out in the cave, and I'm like, oh, so they didn't help at all.
Yeah, I kept wondering how he was going to help with the finale, and then they just like gave it to that other guy. He was the hero.
Yeah, I think they were trying to like flesh it out or something like that. Like,
yeah, they sort of explain it later. Like, he's like, hey, thanks for smoking it out for me. You really saved us, even though I don't know, it didn't seem like it saved them that much. The grenade seemed to do most of the work.
Yeah, that was the other thing. I was like, this movie is part Twin Peaks, part Are You Afraid of the Dark, and part Jaws. At the end, it went all Jaws. They're like, throw something explosive into the mouth and blow it up.
I don't know, where did he get that hand grenade? He just had a hand grenade and a mongoose. Yeah. Just in his kilt. He just pulls them out of his kilt. It's just this magical kilt that has mongoose and hand grenades.
And also, like, Jaws... You got the sort of bad guy gets sacrificed to the monster.
This was much more apparently the bad guy.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, is Quint really the bad guy? I don't know.
Yes, I think a little bit he is. I think that I don't want to go too far into Jaws, but the mayor and Quint, is that his name?
Quint
sort of Quint represent two like extreme civilization and extreme lack of civilization. Bad guy might not be the right term, but they both sort of a little bit of a Western idea of like extreme civilization, extreme lack of civilization, fighting for Brody's life.
Allegiance.
Yeah.
And in the end, he chooses Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah.
Anyway.
In this movie.
Let's get back to this movie.
No comparisons to civilization, really.
No.
It's pretty.
This is all about mythology and witchcraft, pretty much.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's a lot about like religions, kind of. It's kind of the digging into the pagan roots of Christianity a little bit.
Also just, very Freudian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like the dream sequence in this because Ken Russell really knows how to like slip, you know, phallic imagery into things, and he's pretty spot on, like on the nose with most of his phallic imagery. Like there's a part where I can't remember the Lady Marsh, I think is her name, and Eve are dressed as flight attendants in Hugh Grant's dream, and they start fighting on the floor, and he's like holding a marker, and he just like the
marker
just like
that.
Tilts up in his hand
because it was like so blatant.
I was like, but that's what Ken Russell does. Ken Russell's not subtle.
What else has he done?
I've never seen any of his movies.
He's done Tommy.
Did he do The Devils?
Yes, he did The
okay,
Devils.
I've seen that. And I think I've seen one of his short films with like pyramids and stuff.
Altered States.
Sure. Altered States was the other one that I've seen, yeah. He directed a short film called The Kitten for Hitler. So
I haven't seen that.
I haven't seen that either, but I want to. That's a great title.
I like the snake dick better than the marker at the end of the movie when she had the strap on. There was a snake.
Yeah. It was like, it's like, oh, snap.
I didn't really understand. Like, apparently she was going to have sex with that person, but then she ran out of time. And so then she was just going to sacrifice her.
She was like, oh, not enough time. Gotta get rid of that. I thought when the Scottish guy ran back into the cave that he was going to go get his skull that he had excavated. I didn't think he was going to. He just like pulls a hand grenade from underneath his kilt and drops it down the worm's mouth. I thought he was going back to get his skull and stuff, because he really did kind of abandon his archaeological finds in the cave there.
Well, things got a lot more serious than, you know, the philosophical study of, you know, ancient cultures. And man, it was pretty impressive when a snake demon lady was still holding on to that woman's feet while her hand was being cut off. Like,
yeah.
She didn't like flinch or like, and then her other hand was the one that got loosened first, not the one that was being cut off. The one that was being cut off, that one was just totally fully gripped onto the foot still until he finished cutting it off. And I was like, whoa, I like that part. I just liked the solution was like not like poking her or like I don't know, grabbing the other person. It's just like slowly cutting through bone. I kind of wish she hadn't loosened the other hand, like he had walked over to the other side and started cutting her other hand off.
I'm gonna cut both of your hands off. I thought he was gonna like just like swipe them off, but he got down and was like sawing on them. Like, it's like, nope, he's sawing her hands off. She's hanging on there.
Yeah, I kind of liked the denouement just because of the craziness of hand sawing off at snake dick. I was pro those two things. I don't really know how to rate this movie though. I don't know.
It feels like.
Because it definitely walks the line between like a bad movie and a good movie.
Yeah,
I thought it was actually, in some ways, I think I liked it better than Flesh vs. Frankenstein, which surprised me. Like somehow they seemed sort of similar in that they're both very, very silly, and I was laughing a lot during both of them. But for some reason, like the weirdness of this like worked on me better. I'm not sure.
When I say like that it walks the line between like a good movie and a bad movie, I mean that I feel like it shifts moods, that you could take certain scenes out of context and you would be like, oh, they're taking this 100% seriously. And then you could take another scene out of context and be like, who made this? This is like really goofy and weird. And it seemed like to move back and forth. Like Flesh for Frankenstein seemed to have this, you know, sort of a same mood throughout. And so when I say move back and forth between being a good movie and a bad movie, I don't necessarily mean move back and forth between being successful or unsuccessful at what it was trying to do. Just that it had like very different moods at certain points. Like he seemed to take his dream like, sequences pretty seriously.
Yeah, with the weird cut-ups and blue screening of fire. Yeah. It's very
those hallucinations that different people had when they were responding to, I guess, like the snake god, like something from the snakes like touching them. Those weird hallucinations were really like kind of visceral and horrifying. Even though they looked a little cheap, but I mean they still worked on the level I think that they were trying to work on, where it was like a shock. It was like, whoa, like this is some serious shit that happened in the past apparently. And I like the implication that they're all of them are like some sort of descendants of all the people involved in different run-ins with the snake cult. Like Eve is supposedly a descendant of the nuns, and Mary is her name, is a descendant of someone else who was attacked by the snake cult. And you know, obviously Hugh Grant's character is the descendant of the knight in the past. I didn't know if the Scottish guy had a...
He's the outsider.
Ancestor. Yeah. Yeah, he's from Scotland. So.
Redeeming Scottish culture.
I didn't think it was funny. It was a bit like I guess a similar thing would be like in an American movie, you would have if you had somebody from Canada dressed up in like hockey gear or something like that. They were just wearing hockey pads and stuff.
Like Casey Jones from like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. Or like a Mountie, like a Mountie's jacket.
Felt pretty bad for that mongoose.
Poor mongoose. his big role, and it didn't last very long. Mm-hmm. He's like, it's my
time
now. I don't
know what his exact purpose
was. Get some snakes.
I don't know, like a first wave of attack, I guess. A good snake.
Send in the mongoose. Send in the mongoose wave.
Maybe a test, like the cats, and let the right one in. The mongoose can sense snake people. And he's like, there's a snake person there. Time to play the bagpipes.
Although he kind of abandoned his bagpipes at that point.
Well, no, she had
the earplugs.
She had earplugs
in.
Yeah, that was a very dramatic moment. She like smiled and like pulled her earplugs out. And she was like, ha, 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 ha. Technology.
That was kind of crazy.
Oh, poor shit, sexy snake lady. She was just trying to live and get by in the world.
She's trying to feed her ancient god, her ancient snake god.
Like a little snake lady walk.
I did like her like being charmed to walk when she was being charmed by the music. She was like, oh, let me do this thing here. There's a lot of shoulder action in it. I've got to move around to that.
She was saying something to that kid that she picked up, the hitchhiker. It seemed like it was interesting, but now I can't remember what it was. Like after she bit his dick. and he was dying. She was like something about death, and like I don't remember. It seemed important at the time.
Yeah, she was saying that every death is a new rebirth or something like that. And she was talking about like the history of human sacrifice and I guess pagan religions and how it was older than all the other religions put together, and how it was I guess sort of the oldest form of death and rebirth or something like that. And there's I think she gets to like the big dramatic moment in the speech that she has about it, and then the doorbell, like she's holding the skull over her head, and then the doorbell rings and she's like, shit. Just like that, like, oh right, this is goofy. Being a little too
bollocks.
Serious here. oh nuts.
So at the end of the movie, did Hugh Grant already know that he was like a snake person or turning into a snake person? Or is that what, well, he pulls up the kilt and then he knows? Are they gonna fight?
I don't know. I wasn't clear on that. I wasn't clear because I thought
he pulls up the kilt, right?
Yeah, yeah. He pulls up the kilt, but
it wasn't the Scottish guy pulling up Hugh Grant's pants. to reveal that they're both snake people, right?
No,
because it looked like it was the kill.
I don't think so.
It was definitely the kill. Okay. Yeah, I thought that that was a weird moment that didn't really make sense with the rest of the movie, because like it was sort of like a Wile E. Coyote where like he's out all over the ledge, and as long as he doesn't look down, he doesn't realize it, because he's totally fine until the doctor's like, oh, we didn't give you the right thing.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know, I kind of figured that he was, you know, heroic or whatever, that he would be like, you have to kill me. I thought that's what was coming, was that he was going over to the car and there was going to be like, you know, a moral struggle. He's like, I thought I had the right serum, but I'm going to turn into a snake person soon. You should kill me. But then,
yeah, that would have been more interesting, because it seemed more like it was implying that it's the battle's never completely going to be over, because now maybe he'll take the place of what's her name.
And yeah. And
it'll be his turn to do seductive dances and charm.
Not only him.
I definitely
also
would have enjoyed the movie more if it was a crazy snake man. He's like walking around naked all the time doing seductive snake man dances. It's a little too much with, like, you know, even calling the woman victim Eve, like drawing back to idea of like original sin and like seducing men into evil and stuff like that.
And it really hammers home like the difference between the two in their choice of underwear. She's wearing like very boring like white starch underwear.
Yeah.
And then
it's like the virginal. Yeah, she's got the virginal white.
And the snake woman has like slinky black underwear.
Or no underwear.
Yeah, at that point, no underwear, but earlier.
Yeah. And she's just, that hitchhiker, when she's hanging out with him, she's just lying around him like that extremely like sensual nighty, and he's like, I'm hungry. I'm like, are you aware of what's going on here? Because like, even if you don't know that she's a snake lady, like it's pretty clear what's like they're playing snakes and ladders, which is another thing that I enjoyed about the movie. They're playing a kids game, snakes and ladders. And like she's in her underwear, like lying back in like this modelly pose or whatever, talking about, I don't know.
I could actually.
The kid is just totally oblivious,
and it's like, I'm hungry.
My interpretation of that, and maybe that's just because of my own when I was a teenager, but I could totally somehow in a way relate to that. It's that like I was so nervous around women that like even when women were coming on to me when I was young, I couldn't tell because I just assumed that they weren't. So like I could totally picture myself in a situation where like maybe this is just like what friendly adults do, like hang around in underwear. Maybe it doesn't mean anything.
No, I mean I believe it. I didn't think it was unrealistic. I just thought it was funny.
Oh man, I also like that she waits until after she bites him to tell him that he has really bad BO. She's immediately like, "Oh, you have a horrible BO. You have halitosis." She just waits all that time.
See, that's the advantage of, you know, just a regular animal instead of an animal person eating you, is they don't insult you while they're killing you. Like a bear just eats you. It just mauls you to death and eats you. And it's like, it doesn't care whether or not you smell or if
the
you
bear,
were rude.
The bear doesn't try to seduce you beforehand either.
Yeah. Well, I might be into that.
Most of the time. So the bear came at you doing the
bear driving down the road.
Oh, yes, I'll come have a drink with you, bear.
She's
got a bottle of brandy in his hand, just in his paw.
And grabs a loofah and is washing the body.
Wow, thanks, bear. This is the best bath I've ever received. So it sounds like we all liked the movie.
Yeah.
The layer of the light.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I don't think I enjoyed it as much as Flesh for Frankenstein, but I definitely enjoyed it. I've enjoyed both all three Ken Russell films. I need to go back and rewatch Tommy though, because it's been a long time since I've seen Tommy.
I really liked when Hugh Grant appeared on screen, and I'm glad that it was before that he was famous. I mean, obviously he wouldn't do this movie after he was famous, but there would have been like a big like reveal for Hugh Grant if he was famous. But it was just like, Hugh Grant. It took me by surprise.
He just sort of dances into the camera.
Yeah, he's just sort of there, like standing at the buffet table. I think that's when he appears. He's at the party. The guy's at the buffet table, and he's just like,
that really,
"Hey, what's
like,
up? I'm
gross
Hugh Grant."
Buffet that they.
That worm was cool though. The like worm costume that like a bunch of people were wearing, like dancing around the room. And I like the.
It was like a big.
I like the concert scene. The whole party scene was nice.
Yeah, that was a good. It was a good little song. It was a good little like folk song that they, I guess, created for the movie about the guy catching a fish and throwing it down the well and it actually being the worm or whatever. But yeah, no, they had that like big, like Chinese dragon type costume that was the worm, and then they cut it in half, and then half the people dance one way and half the people dance the other way. I also, when I was watching this, I watched the first half of it at work, so I was sitting there watching it, and like Vanessa was watching with me, and she was like, what is that dude eating, like when he's like slurping up the noodles, like it's probably just spaghetti with food coloring, and then they say in the movie that it's like pickled earthworms or something like that. I was like, oh, it's gross.
Sounds good to me.
I would try it. I would eat most things pickled. Pickling's a great discovery for mankind.
I don't normally enjoy Hugh Grant, but I did here. I don't know. I mean, he was basically the same sort of like leaning against the doorway, like, oh, this is what we're going to do now. Like, just like, I don't know how to describe it. Like a guy, but I just, you know, maybe he just got too egotistical after he started to do really well.
I think it played up his foppishness in a more interesting way than usually they do. Probably because once he was famous, he could control how he was portrayed better. But it did seem that, like, even though he was capable, he's also sort of like not that affected by everything, just kind of like wandering around like, just everyone's in danger and
I'm rich.
And still like telling his butler to do everything for him. Like,
he just has that, like when he sees the butler's dead, he just has that like very brief beat. He's like, Gregory, and then like cuts away.
No, I like when he tells the butler, he says, unlock the front door and go tell the chambermaids to lock themselves in their room. And the butler turns around and he goes, unlock the front door and lock the chambermaids in.
That's a really
intriguing thing to him.
Disattached? Not unattached. The opposite of attached. That's what Hugh Grant's character was. Like,
detached.
That's the word I'm looking for.
Detached.
He's very detached. That's the word I was looking for, and it worked really well for me. Like, when he first shows up at the snake lady's house, what is he wearing? Like, a cop's uniform?
It's like a military uniform.
Yeah, I think he was wearing, like, his service uniform or whatever.
I don't know why, but he's just sort of, like, leaning against the doorway, and he's like, crazy shit's been going down. Have you heard about it?
I thought the gag was like that he was gonna pretend to be a cop and like investigate, but then he's just like, hey, Lord, what's his
name? That's what I thought too.
Wait, we've never met.
I also thought he was gonna pretend to be a cop, and then I was like, huh? Just more of his detachment. And, you know, another thing where it was like earlier when Eve was freaking out when she touched the like venom or whatever on the crucifix, and she had that sort of like nightmare vision, and he was like talking to her, like it seemed like he wasn't taking her seriously at all, and then like, but then he immediately investigates. He was like, oh
yeah,
you're just crazy, but I'm gonna follow through on your craziness because I'm interested.
What else do bored rich people have to do?
It did seem like everything was very like logical. Like it followed a pretty logical path. There were no.
That's the opposite of what I'm saying.
Incredible.
That's literally the opposite of what I'm saying.
How is that the opposite of what you're saying?
He thinks that she's crazy, but he decides to listen to her anyway, even though he thinks that she's crazy. And then he shows up in the cop's uniform like he's going to trick the woman, but then he just immediately abandons his trickery. Like, that's not logical at all.
No, I wasn't even talking about that. I was just talking about, like, generally the movie, like, the way that they figure things out is pretty logical.
Okay, well, I mean, that was, you said that literally after those two things I said, which were the opposite of logical.
but I mean, like, I was thinking about the way that they figure things out in the movie is always really logical. They're like, oh, okay, well, this thing here is connected to this thing here, and they, you know, they sort of connect the dots in a really, like, nice, logical way.
There's an investigation that happens. What? They don't just stumble upon things.
I don't think that he was trying to trick her. He never makes an overture of trying to trick her. He,
except for dressing up as a cop. That's the only overture that he makes.
I don't think he was a cop. I don't think that was a cop uniform.
He changed.
It was like a military
uniform. It's the same day, and he changed out of his regular clothes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure why he was dressed up like that, but it,
maybe it's a decorum. He knows he's meeting a lady.
He should wear his old military uniform.
Try and dress up, look fancy for, I don't know, it seemed like there was weird, sort of, I mean, it was all, kind of all over the place, but it seemed like there was maybe a hint of, class commentary in the, I don't know. Maybe just because there's the mythology thing, and in the end, except for it's undone by the very end, but the Scottish scientist who's it's the working class student scientist guy is the one that wins out for the ending, which ruins that. But up until the last 3 minutes, it seemed that Hugh Grant was fairly ineffectual and not that useful.
Except for cutting that one person in half.
Right.
Yeah, cutting their mother in half.
Yeah. He did accomplish that.
Their mother is a snake person.
That's true.
I like how they kept
and
her mother
tripped over his own drum set. I kept expecting
just
the father to show up.
Just sitting in that chair watching that same clip. Yeah.
I'm just going to save the mother because I know that I'm going to want the daughters later and it's going to freak him out. So you just stay here in the mansion for years.
And watch the same clip of a woman eating a snake.
That's a pretty cool clip.
I like that. It seems like that drum set, the only purpose for him having that drum set in that room is for him to trip over it later. It doesn't really do it. I know, I guess it's supposed to be the music room, but he's just got that drum set sitting there in that room for... and then he cuts the person in half and then he just trips over the drum set immediately. And I was just they just had that drum set in there so he could fall over it.
In some ways I feel like it, I mean, I agree with that and it was funny, but it also seemed sort of to hint at his character in a way. I could imagine him being oh, I want to learn drums, and then doing it for a little bit and then giving up, I guess I'm done with drums.
Well, that was
moving
that,
on to something else. He definitely seems like a guy who doesn't really have that much vested interest in anything.
The two women were bitten as well, so I guess we're to assume that they're going to become snake people after the conclusion of the movie. Hugh Grant's the only one who wasn't bitten, right?
Right, we assume that.
They sort of imply that the Scottish guy was able to suck the venom out of Mary in time, and that they weren't sure whether she'd been bitten or not. He was just giving her the anti-venom as a precaution. So it's possible that it's just good old Scotland coming back for revenge all by himself. I'm not too happy with that.
I think they should take this movie concept and make it a British television show in the style of Doctor Who. You know? and then they can sort of each generation's, instead of Doctor Who, they replace the actor who plays the hero, they'll replace the actor who plays the villain. Each generation has a new snake person.
And we get up to snake person adventures.
Adventures of the wild.
Let's go to BBC One. Fix this immediately.
We could see if Hugh Grant will produce it. Be like, remember that movie you were in that you're really embarrassed about? How would you like to produce a television show based on that concept?
I don't know that he's specifically embarrassed about this film.
He probably is.
He doesn't really do anything embarrassing in it.
I guess that's true.
He's just
it's not a very well-regarded movie.
I'm charming and rich, and I figure everything out. It's basically his character in this movie.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say that I feel like this movie is not very well regarded, except for by Ken Russell fans. I feel Altered States was kind of a big deal and was nominated for awards and stuff like that. So the director from Altered States is hey, you want to be in my movie? And it's this movie. I would guess that.
I'd be yeah.
A crowning achievement for most of the actors. Although maybe to me it is. I certainly like it better than American Dreams.
I don't even know what
American
that is.
Dreams. Black. That's it's a movie that's supposed to be I think Hugh Grant plays Simon Cowell or a Simon Cowell character in it. And it's basically about this it's an American Idol type thing, but then there are all these different contestants in it, and one of the contestants is a terrorist, and his like sleeper cell wants him to blow up the competition or something like that. Like, it's so bad. So bad.
I can't think of a Hugh Grant movie other than this one that I've enjoyed.
I remember liking About a Boy for the parts when he's a jerk to everyone, but less once it became more sentimental.
I mean, I haven't seen that many Hugh Grant movies, but I saw Love Actually recently, and it pretty much soured me on life.
Grant forever.
No, on life. More than Hugh Grant.
On everything.
And the process of making movies, on people's opinions on movies, on love, on Christmas.
On Christmas. I have a very low opinion of Christmas because of Love Actually.
Yeah.
Fuck Christmas.
Not for any other reasons, just that one.
Yeah.
But not Cougar Town.
Hmm?
Reminds me of that.
But not Cougar Town. It did not sour you on Cougar Town.
No.
Despite it being Andy's favorite movie.
Yeah, I forget about that. Well, it means I won't trust Andy's opinion on movies. Well, they all like terrible movies. I think that's like an intentional thing in the show, is that they just like constantly talk about like mostly not good movies.
The perfect storm.
Yeah. Movies that were probably popular among, you know, 40-something, 50-something people.
The only one I can think of them talking about was Waiting for Superman. I don't think any of them liked it. I think it's Travis was the one that liked it. Travis is the one.
They talk about Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
The Usual Suspects.
Yeah, The Usual Suspects. They do a movie game where they mention a lot of different movies by combining two ones, like Scooby-Doo The Right Thing. Remember the movie game? But they don't really, like, go into those movies at all. They talk about Field of Dreams a lot because it's the only movie that Grayson cries during. And Grayson thinks that Andy's favorite movie is Die Hard, but it's Love Actually. He says his favorite movie is Die Hard, and she's a horrible person. But he's listing the things that make the couples different from each other. And then he goes, actually, my favorite movie is Love Actually. Actually, Love Actually. It's a sequel. I don't know. I feel like that pretty much covered it. The only thought that I came into through this podcast was that it reminded me of Are You Afraid of the Dark? And I wanted to make my Midnight Society joke. Like, I specifically Googled, like, what the opening of Are You Afraid of the Dark is.
Just to make the joke on this podcast. Excellent. Yeah, mostly what I was thinking of was the super obvious Freudian stuff. I didn't even pick up on the, I don't know. And like, it's weird that they called the girl Eve, because it seemed like for most of the movie, they were like doing like a confluence of like Eve and the snake being the same person with the snake woman.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that's very ground that's been covered by lots of misogynist, modernist artists.
Yep.
Good times. Thanks, Ken Russell.
Do you know what I was... Because I guess it kind of reminded me of this. I've seen a short film by an avant-garde type filmmaker that has like a bunch of Egyptian imagery in it that's like kind of famous. I thought it was Ken Russell, but then when I looked at his IMDb, I didn't see a name that I recognized. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Could it be Kenneth Anger?
Yes, Kenneth Anger. Okay.
Wow.
That makes sense. Actually, when I was watching this, the hallucination sequences made me think of like a lot of experimental film that I've seen, and Kenneth Anger definitely came to mind as possibly being an influence. I haven't seen any Kenneth Anger movies, so I was basing that on my vague understanding of him as a filmmaker who does weird imagery.
Let me see.
But like,
yeah,
the sort of cut-up nature and like cheapness felt like a intentional effect to me, and I liked it. I thought it was pretty cool that like in a movie that seemed like it got at least like pretty decent release and everything, would have something so weird in 1988 and like intentionally cheap-looking.
It reminds me a little bit of The Holy Mountain, which I don't like, but which is apparently pretty popular among filmmakers, especially experimental filmmakers, with just all the, like, the religious and the like violent and religious imagery.
So that is a Jodorowsky movie that I have not seen. It's on my list of movies to see, but it's in the part of that list where there are movies that I will probably never see.
That's the only Jabberwocky movie I've seen. So.
Yeah, I've only seen El Topo. I think Dan considers them to be pretty weak in terms of experimental films.
I did see that there was like an art group that made a movie that was basically they remade the Holy Mountain, but it was all with clips of like dogs from like old VHS videos. I think it's called Doggy Woggies Poochie Moochies is what it's called, and it's just the Holy Mountain remade with clips of dogs. Like. It sounded like the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life, and I want to see it now. I don't know how to get my hands on it, so...
Kind of reminds me of those kids who over, like, 15 years made that exact copy of Raiders of the Lost Ark. Like a shot-for-shot remake, and, like, you know, because it took them, like, so long to do it, like, there's radically different ages in them, different scenes and stuff.
Because they didn't shoot it in sequence either. It's pretty awesome. There's a lot of pretty cool video art appropriation and, like, remaking stuff. There's like, a famous movie by Bruce Conner from the 70s called A Movie. It's just called A Movie.
I know it.
And someone recently remade that using all clips found from YouTube, which I saw a segment of. It was pretty awesome.
I think Bruce Conner's A Movie is on YouTube, so they could just use A Movie to remake A Movie.
That's true.
The Kenneth Anger movie that I've seen is called Lucifer Rising, and it very much reminded me of this.
That makes me want to watch that movie for the first time ever, because I like those parts of it a lot. Wow.
Okay.
Yep. Well, I think that's all we have to say about it.
I feel good about the amount of laughing that I did today talking about this movie.
So how do they end the episodes of Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Didn't they blow out a match?
I think they douse the fire and everybody leaves.
Oh, that's
don't
right.
They say something though?
Let's find out.
I don't remember.
So I'll be silent. You look this up. Oh, here it is. I declare this meeting of the Midnight Society closed. Pours water over the fire.
I just remember the stuff with the fire. I don't remember what they say.
Okay. Thanks for listening.
Right.
Goodbye, everyone. Bye.
Okay, bye. Bye. Bye.